Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend.
Today we're going to study 1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 1 through 13. And the subject of our lesson today is this very simple thought. Provisions for a king. Provisions for a king. You're going to see in this particular passage that Samuel anoints Saul and gives him some prophecies about some things that are going to happen to him after the anointing. And these things are more than just simple prophetic events in the life of Saul immediately following his meeting with Samuel. These are given to Saul to teach him that he can depend upon the Lord for certain things after he becomes the king of the country. These are very, very important things that happen to him. And so we want to study these in some detail here so that we will know what the significance is of each of these things that were prophesied by Samuel. Now let's read the passage, 1 Samuel chapter 10, begin with verse 1. Then Samuel took a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin and Zilzah. And they will say unto thee, The asses which thou wentest to seek are found. And lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses, and sorrowth for you, saying, What shall I do for my son? Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor. And there shall meet thee three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee, and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. After that thou shalt come to the hill of God, which is the garrison of the Philistines. And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery, and a tabret, and a pipe, and a harp before them. And they shall prophesy, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man. And let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. And thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings, and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee, and show thee what thou shalt do. And it was so, that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came unto him, and he prophesied among them. And it came to pass, when all that knew him before time saw that, behold, he prophesied among the prophets, then the people said one to another, What is this that is come unto the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? And one of the same place answered and said, But who is their father? Therefore, it became a proverb, Is Saul also among the prophets? And when he had made an end of prophesying, he came to the high place. Now in the things that Samuel said to Saul, and in the things that the Lord accomplished for Saul, based upon what Samuel had said, we see that the Lord provided Saul with everything he needed for his current necessities and also for his future reign. You see, the signs that were given to Saul were to let Saul know, hey, this deal that we're doing here, this anointing thee to be the king, it's for real. This really came from God. Okay? And also then, not only would he know that it really came from God and it wasn't just some thought on the part of Samuel, but that also God would use those signs to instruct him in the way that things would go during his reign. See? For instance, when Moses got ready to lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt and into the wilderness and then on to the land of Canaan, God gave Moses some signs to convince him that, in fact, God was calling him to do that very thing. Moses gave those to Aaron. Aaron was convinced. Moses and Aaron gave those to the children of Israel, and they were convinced. And then those very same kinds of signs were given by the Lord Jesus Christ in his early miracles to let Israel know that he was their deliverer. You see, in other words, the signs themselves were very, very significant, not only for the present day, but also for the future. Likewise, in Saul's case, the signs are not only for the immediate necessities, but also for the future reign that he would have in Israel, if you remember what the sign said. Now, what does he see here? Well, first of all, we see in these things that transpired between Samuel and Saul that Saul needed, for his provisions as a king, he needed, number one, anointing. Look at verse 1 again. Then Samuel took of a vial of oil and poured it upon his head and kissed him and said, "Is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?" The very, very, very important thing that transpires there, that anointing. You say, why is that? Because with that anointing comes, well, several things. One is a very special protection by the Lord. And two, it is something that shows Saul and the rest of Israel that this particular king is God's choice. If you'll remember, at the end of the reign of David, there was some concern as to whether Solomon would be the king or Adonijah would be the king. Well, when Solomon was anointed, that put to rest for everybody else who the successor king would be. Likewise, when Saul was anointed here, hey, this is God's choice. But listen, that anointing afforded him, in the eyes of the other people, a special protection. Okay? And you know, not all the people respected that anointing. David certainly did. It became very, very valuable in David's life. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 24. God had a specific time, a specific occasion, a specific way that he wanted Saul to die. And David had several opportunities, ample opportunities, to take Saul out, and had justification because Saul was trying to kill him. But notice what David said in 1 Samuel chapter 24 in verse 6. He said unto his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master. The Lord's anointed to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. You see that? So that anointed provided Saul not only with the recognition in the eyes of other people that he was God's choice, but also the recognition in the eyes of other people that he is to be treated with a special protection. He's God's man, he's God's choice, and if God wants to eliminate him, God can do it, but we're not to put our hands on the Lord's anointed. Very important. Provision for this king. All right, second thing that we see in this passage is not only did he need an anointing, but he also needed direction. He needed direction. I mean, after all, what brought him to Samuel in the first place? Well, he was looking for his father's asses. And after 3 days, hadn't found them, his servant said, "Let's go and talk to Samuel. Samuel's a seer. He'll maybe give us some information." And so that's why they had gone to him in the first place. So he needed direction to know where those asses were, where he could find them. And as a matter of fact, Samuel had told him in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 20, "As for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them, for they're found." So he said, "I need to tell you where they are." And he does. Look in verse 2. "When thou art departed from me today, then thou shalt find two men by Rachel's sepulcher in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say unto thee, 'The asses which thou wentest to seek are found, and lo, thy father hath left the care of the asses, and sorrowth for you, saying, What shall I do for my son?'" So he needed direction. He had to know where the asses were. And Samuel said, look, you head down there by Rachel's sepulcher. See that direction? Go that direction. Go down there by Rachel's sepulcher. And that place was well known. It was well marked. If you go back into Genesis and see that episode where Rachel dies in the childbirth of Benjamin. She's right outside of Bethlehem there. And so they raise a pillar there to mark that grave and mark that sepulcher of Rachel. She says, when you get by that thing, there'll be two men, and they're going to say to you, the asses which thou wentest to seek are found. Okay? And that's exactly what happens. Now, he needed that direction. You understand, as the king of a country, the king might have common sense to rule, but then again, he might be of such a nature as to lead the country in the wrong direction. Certainly more kings led the country of Israel in the wrong direction than they did in the right direction. And so because of that, Saul was being shown by Samuel that, listen, when you need to know something about which direction to take this country, what battles to fight, where to go, you can come to a man like me, and from the Lord, you can find out the direction that you need in order to take the country in the right place or according to God's will. Now, Saul knew that. He didn't always practice that, but he knew that. As a matter of fact, he had war with the Philistines, and he wanted to be sure what to do about that war, and so he made an attempt to inquire of God. But the Lord wasn't going to answer him, because by this time, the Lord had already forsaken Saul and actually used the battle with the Philistines to set him up, to take him out of the office so he could put David in there. But look in 1 Samuel chapter 28. And look at verse 5 and 6. When Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Saul became desperate, of course, and then hired that woman that had a familiar spirit, an Endor, to give him some direction. But the point is, in this particular sign that was given by Samuel to Saul, Saul should be able to recognize, hey, when I need to know something and God wants me to know it, he will give me direction like he's giving me today to let me know where I should go or what I should do. Here's something else that God gave him in these signs. Not only did he give him anointing, which he needed, and direction, which all kings need, but he also gave him provision. Look at verses 3 and 4. Then shalt thou go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor. So now, see, God's telling him, when you leave here, go first of all by Rachel's sepulcher, and then go by the plain of Tabor. When you get there shall meet thee three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, and another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they will salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, which thou shalt receive of their hands. Very important. You say, why is that? Doesn't seem to be any big deal. Well, for one thing, that's very prophetic, isn't it? Here, I'm going to tell you there's going to be three men. One's going to have three lambs or three kids. One's going to have three loaves of bread. One's going to have a bottle of wine. I mean, you would think you'll have one with a kid and a loaf of bread and a bottle of wine, the other two with a kid and a loaf of bread, you know, kind of distribute the thing around. But no, he said, this is specifically how you're going to find them. And they're going to give you two loaves of bread. That's very important. You know what he learned here? Provision. Provision. You see, if you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 9, before they ever went to Samuel in the first place to inquire as to where those asses were, in verse 7, then said Saul to his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels. So they were out of food. Of course, Samuel fed them that night before. But the next day they're going to be traveling on back, and he says, you know what, you need a little food for the way. You don't have any more bread. And not these guys weren't going to give you one loaf of bread, so you'd have to split it, but they're going to give you two loaves of bread, so each one of you will have one. Of course, he doesn't say all that, but that's what's going on. God makes provision for the day where Saul gets a loaf of bread and his servant gets a loaf of bread. He needed provision. They were out of food. Now listen, what's so also very important about this is that Samuel would have to know that if the Lord could take care of his needs prophetically, he could take care of his country's need. I mean, think back to when Israel was in the wilderness. They needed food, and God provided them with manna for 40 years. They needed water, and anywhere they were in the wilderness where there was not running water or pooled water for their use, God supplied them with water out of the rock. Think about 2 Kings chapter 6 and 2 Kings chapter 7, where Israel is besieged by the Syrians, and they are literally so starved that a woman makes an agreement with her friend to boil her son so they can have something to eat. The next day they plan to boil the other woman's son. And they fuss with the king about that, and finally the prophet says, hey, don't worry about that, Elisha. Hey, don't worry about that. Tomorrow things are really going to turn around. Now, that's a bad paraphrase. What happens? God sends a rumor to the Syrians that are outside the gate. They get scared to death and run off and leave all their provisions. It took Israel 3 days to gather those provisions, and those provisions were sufficient to take care of everybody's need. And Saul would have to understand something. Listen, God in these signs is showing him something. He's giving him things that he needs. He needs anointing, he needs direction, he needs provision. And his country needs provision. And Saul doesn't follow this in his reign, this remembrance that God will provide. He doesn't follow that. As a matter of fact, when Samuel gave the characteristics of the king that Israel would get, he said he's going to take your sons, he's going to take your daughters, he's going to use them to ear his fields and harvest his fields and bake his goods. He's going to take your sheep, and he's going to take your oxen, and he's going to take your asses and your goats. He's going to take, and through conscription, he's going to take your men and put them in a military. He's going to take your daughters, and they're going to cook for him. You know what? That's not a man looking to the Lord for his provision. That's a man putting his country into bondage so that he can live lavishly. He didn't get this lesson very well. I showed you something else he learned here and some other provision that God gave him in 1 Samuel chapter 10, and that's this. He gave him the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because as the king, he was going to need the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 6. Actually, we'll start with verse 5. After that, thou shalt come to the hill of God, which is the garrison of the Philistines. So he's just leading him right on like a treasure map. Go from here to there to there. Hill of God. Where's the garrison of the Philistines? And it shall come to pass, when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. Now just stop right there. That music there that they have there, the psaltery, the tabret, the pipe, the harp, those are kinds of things that typically accompany what the prophets have musically whenever they prophesy. And I'll tell you something, in a church, it is very important to have the right kind of music before the preaching, because it has an effect on the people and what happens spiritually with the work of the Spirit of God in the service. You have the wrong kind of music, you're going to have the wrong kind of reception of the Word of God. You have the right kind of music, then the Word of Christ is going to dwell richly in the hearts of those that are admonished and taught through the songs and the hymns and the spiritual songs. That music is very, very important. I really believe today that the wrong kind of music has gotten into the churches, and it is affecting the potential work of the Word of God adversely, because I think in many cases there's actually even evil spirits associated with that. Of course, that I don't mean for that comment to offend, and I don't mean for that comment to be over your head, but I'm not apologizing for it. I believe that the wrong kind of music now is being played to entertain, to please the ears of the crowd, and to get the crowd in there. And I believe the very music that is being played is also being used by the devil to distort anything that may be done by the Word of God in that service. That's right. And this harp, this tabret, this pipe, this psaltery are very important. You'll see later, and we study in 1 Samuel, I believe it is, chapter 16, that David's going to play on the harp, and when an evil spirit is troubling Saul, he's actually going to be refreshed, because the right kind of music will drive away the wrong kind of spirit. You ought to study your Bible and look into that before you keep getting tripped up by this music thing that's associated supposedly with the preaching of the Word of God. Now go on, because we're really looking at a provision here. Verse 6, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man. Notice, he needed the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. He needed that Spirit on him because kings can easily be troubled by evil spirits, since Satan is the god of this world. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 16, as I mentioned to you, when David is anointed, the Spirit of God comes on him in verse 13, and watch it in verse 14, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And that's why David had to play with the harp. In verse 23 of 1 Samuel chapter 16, it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. Listen, you go back and you look in the reign of kings and just look at the evil influence of evil spirits, either identified as evil spirits in the Bible or just by the characteristics of the thing they were doing in the kingdom. Consider Manasseh killing the innocent children and offering sacrifices on the high places to false gods. Consider what happened to Solomon, offering to the false gods on the high places. Consider what happened to Ahab and Jezebel. We know there were evil spirits involved in that. They had 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of the grove. And when given the opportunity to testify to Ahab whether he should go into battle at Ramoth-Gilead, they gave exactly the wrong answer. And when Micaiah came and brought the right answer from the Lord, he told Ahab how those prophets had misled him, because an evil spirit from the Lord, or a lying spirit from the Lord, got in their mouths and they spoke something to Ahab that wasn't true in order to destroy him. I'm telling you, man, these kings in these positions need the Holy Spirit of God. All right, that's not all. He needed anointing, he needed direction, he needed provision, the Holy Spirit. He also needed God, which is one and the same thing when you say he had the Spirit of God. But look at it again in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 7. Let it be when these signs are come unto thee that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. Listen, when a king is in that kind of position of authority, the one thing he needs to know is that God is there to guide him, to lead him, to protect him, to be with him, to back his decisions and to lead him in his decisions. Just quickly look over in 2 Chronicles chapter 32 and look at verse 8. When Hezekiah was being maligned by Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, those were desperate times in Judah. And notice, look at verses 7 and 8 in 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Be strong and courageous. Be not afraid nor dismayed for the king of Assyria, nor for all the multitude that is with him. For there be more with us than with him. With him is an arm of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people rested themselves upon the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. That settled down his country when they knew that God was with them to help them. Jehoshaphat knew that and went into a battle one time where they didn't even have to raise a weapon. Listen, those guys needed to know that God was on them and needed to know that the Lord was for their kingdom. Listen, there's nothing worse than being in charge of a country and not knowing that God is with you. And then notice something else he needed. In verse 8, he needed authority. He needed authority. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 8, thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee, show thee what thou shalt do. Let me tell you something. God gave Saul a commandment, and he had to obey that commandment. But you know what? He didn't do it. He didn't do it. When he was down there and he saw that the people were fleeing from him, he didn't wait the full 7 days. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 13 and 14, he sacrificed early, and when he did, Samuel came to him and said, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue." Why? Because he didn't follow the command of the Lord. Don't you remember when Jesus met the centurion? The centurion had a sick servant, and the Lord was coming to take care of that servant. And the Lord, and he said to the Lord's men, he said, "You don't need to come down here." Why? What did he say? "For I am a man under authority." And a king needs to be under authority. And the king needs to keep the commands of the Lord. And Saul didn't do that. Listen, everything came to pass just as Samuel had prophesied, except for the meeting in Gilgal. That didn't come to pass until a while later, and that's because if you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 7 and look at verse 16, Gilgal was on Samuel's circuit, and Saul knew that timing of that, and when they were to meet there together, that's when this event took place. If Saul had remembered these things that the Lord had done for him, he would have been a good king, but he didn't, and so he went down like so many of the kings that followed him. And what a sad ending to such a great beginning.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. If you would like more information about our broadcast ministry or Bible Believers Baptist Church, we have two websites that are available to help you. For rebroadcast of our radio messages or for answers to nearly 200 of the most commonly asked Bible questions from our listeners, go to www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. For information about our church and for an abundance of both Sunday school and Bible study material, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's www.my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. That's 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you. In the meantime, stay tuned each weekday afternoon at 4 p.m. right here on KCTA for The Unknown Bible.
Hallelujah.